Parsha begins, Vayetza Yaakov in Beersheva, Vayelech Harana. Yaakov departed from Beersheva, went to Haran. Vayifka Bamakom, he encountered the place and spent the night there because the sun had set. He took from the stones of the place, which he arranged around his head, and lay down in that place. We know Chazal tell us that he went toward Haran, realized, oi, how could I pass by the place my forefathers Davin? And Kafsalo Aretz, the land jumped back, so to speak, which many different interpretations. Yaakov Avinu lands in Beit El, and he has a dream. And Har Moriah, the Mount Moriah, comes to Beit El. And in his dream, he beholds a ladder was set earthward, and its top reached heavenward, and behold, angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. He wakes up. And he said, oh, man, the Rama, komasa. I didn't realize how holy this place was. And this is none other than Shar Shamayim. This is the gates of heaven. That's the beginning of the parsha. Now let's fast forward. Yaakov Avinu is in Haran for 20 years. He works for Lavan, gets married, has many children. And now the end psukim of the parsha, 1b. And Lavan awoke early in the morning. He kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. Then Lavan went and returned to his place. Yaakov went on his way, and angels of God encountered him. Yaakov said when he saw them, this is a godly camp. So he called the name of that place Machanaim, plural for Machaneh, plural for camp. And it's fascinating. Rabbeinu Bachai says these were the very same angels that he encountered. He recognized them. And here, the angels of God encountered him, vayifka. The same word as encountered, as used earlier, is used here. What's the significance of these angels? And the significance in the fact that Yaakov Avinu gives a name to these angels. When he first sees the angel, he gives a name of the place, but it's not really about the angels. Here, he names the place based on this is a godly camp, and he calls this Machanaim. So I'd like to learn together Rashi about the angels in the beginning of our parsha, the angels here, ask the Ramban's question on Rashi, and our Shir today, Mirtz Hashem, is going to try to be able to have an understanding of how we can reconcile Rashi, the Ramban's question on Rashi, on three levels. Here's Rashi. Olim v'yordimbo, the angels were ascending and descending. They were first ascending and then descending. Why? Because the angels who escorted him in the land of Israel do not go out of the land. So they ascended up to heaven. And then the angels that are the angels for Chutz La'aretz, they came down. So usually angels are in heaven. So what does it mean that the angels were ascending and descending? It should be first they were descending, they came down, then they went back up. So Rashi explains, based on the Medrash, you know, the angels of Eretz Yisrael, they're special Eretz Yisrael angels from the land of Israel, they went up because now Yaakov Avinu is leaving. And the angels of Chutz La'aretz are descending, right? Many people think about this as they, you know, fly out of Eretz Yisrael or to Eretz Yisrael. Like, when is that exact moment when these angels are going to change guards? That's the first Rashi. Now, let's take a look at Rashi at the end of the Parsha. Vayifku bo malachei Elokim. And angels of God encountered him. Who were these angels? Angels of the land of Israel. They came toward him to escort him to the land. So those very angels that left him originally have now come back. Bruchim aboim, welcome. Machanaim, this means two camps. The angels of the outside of the land, who had come with him up to this point, and those of the land of Israel, who came toward him to escort him to the land. So according to Rashi, Machanaim is, as we mentioned, on the angels. There are two camps of angels. The angels of outside of Israel, who are now leaving him, and the angels that are of Eretz Israel, of the land of Israel, are going to join him. So it seems like Rashi is in sync, one Rashi with the other, that there are two different types of angels. Angels of Eretz Yisrael, angels that leave Eretz Yisrael. However, what's the problem? The problem is, as the Ramban notes, Vani Tema Bazeh, source number 3. I'm perplexed by this. For Yaakov had still not reached the land of Israel, and he was in fact far from there. and sent messages to Esau far from there. For it says below, he crossed the Nahar Yabok, referring to the border of the children of Ammon, which is the southeast of Eretz Yisrael. And he still had to pass through the territory of Ammon and Moab. And after this, he would arrive in the land of Edom, where Esau lived. And only after that did he enter the land of Israel. And then he came to Shechem. So the Ramban's question, which will be our question for today, is how do you understand Rashi that says that the angels of Eretz Yisrael came to greet him when those angels of Eretz Yisrael are angels that belong in Israel? He was nowhere near Israel. He had a long way to go till he got to Israel. He was Mevor LaYarden. He was in Transjordan. So that's not Israel. So then why are we saying that when Yaakov Avinu, Machanaim, two groups, because now the angels of Eretz Yisrael have come to greet him? That's very nice if he were in Israel, but have the angels greet him now before he got to Israel? Like, how do we understand this? And as the Medrash points out in source number 4, how many angels were circling and dancing around Yaakov Avinu at the time of his entrance into Eretz Yisrael? Hundreds of thousands of angels were circling and dancing. I don't think we've been able to understanding of this. This was like major, like the angels are coming to rejoice that Yaakov Avinu is returning to Eretz Yisrael. He's naming the place based on these two groups of angels, but he's not in Eretz Yisrael. How do we understand this? So before we take a look at our three levels, which are obviously meant for us to glean and learn and grow from, I'd like to make mention very briefly of two ideas. One we'll come back to at the end of Eretz Hashem. Tam the Das, Rav Sternbach. This is the Rav Sternbach that you can quote. He says, you see from here, source 5, Shemalachim Muchanim Lazov Eretz HaKodesh, that angels are ready to leave the Holy Land, L'lavot Yudi Shurotzeh L'alot Arza, to any Jew that wants to make Aliyah. This should be Nefesh B'Nefesh, should be on all of their brochures, this Tam the Das, that angels of Eretz Yisrael leave, they'll go anywhere in the world to help bring a Jew back to Eretz Yisrael. Wow. Beautiful idea in its own right, almost ready to end this year here. However, we have more wonderful ideas coming up. The second idea of the Aderet Kohen, in source number 6, where he quotes the idea from the Flos Mitaras Hashem Yitzbarach, that we know that Yaakov Avinu could have gone a much easier route, right? Haran is by Syria. So just cut through from Syria up north, just cut through, and you're in the land of Israel. Why is he going down and then across? It's like so much more out of his way. Why is he taking this much longer route? So he says, perhaps the idea is similar to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, we know, walked Halach Be'eretz Yisrael La'arka La'rachba. He walked the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, and by doing so, my seven similar bunim, is he is establishing that all of Eretz Yisrael, by traversing the land, will belong to the Jews. Likewise, perhaps, this is what Yaakov Avinu is doing. We know that Ever HaYarden, the Transjordan, will belong to the Jewish people at the times of Mashiach. So what is Yaakov Avinu doing? And we know Reuven got a Chatzi Sheva Menashe, had like a quasi level of Kedusha in that part. So in order to be Mekadesh Ever HaYarden, in order to make it holy, Yaakov Avinu specifically traverses this part to say, just like Avraham Avinu went through Eretz Yisrael and created Kedusha, Yaakov Avinu is going through this part to create this part of Kedusha to say that ultimately this will belong to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, since he's creating this as being ultimately part of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore the angels of Eretz Yisrael are able, of the land of Israel, able to come and greet him. Having said that, let's begin our three levels. Idea number 1. Ask the Asnaim LaTorah, Rav Saretskin. Yaakov Avinu sees these angels while he's wide awake. This time he was awake, although at Beit El he had been asleep. Why do you have to be asleep to see them in the land of Israel at the site of the Holy of Holies, right? This is Shaar HaShemayim, the gate of heaven. Should not his prophetic powers there have been greater than on foreign soil? So if we're saying that he's not in Eretz Yisrael, how is he able to see the angels awake when he is in Eretz Yisrael? He has to be in a dream. And the answer to this question would be our first approach. The answer is that then it all depends on where one's thoughts are. When he lay in the Holy of Holies, Yaakov's thinking about Haran, his destination. Therefore, he could only see the angels in a trance. Now, however, that his thoughts were on the Holy Land, which he was about to enter, he could see the angels even when he's awake. And he explains, a very famous idea, that this explains why, on the beginning of Maariv, of Yom Kippur, called Nidre Night, we say, Baruch Shem Kivo Machus Olam Va'ed, out loud as if for angels. But we just entered into Yom Kippur. However, at the other side of the coin, Maariv, after Ne'ilah, we say Baruch Shem quietly. Well, how can you compare? I've just spent 25 hours in shul. I've been on the state of angels, right? We haven't eaten all day. So that Baruch Shem in Maariv, after a whole Yom Kippur, that should be said out loud. And the answer is the same answer. When I enter into Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre Night, that Maariv, I'm thinking about Yom Kippur. I'm thinking about holiness. I'm thinking about tshuva. Man, we're on a level of angels. At the end, Maariv, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about food. I'm thinking about when am I going to get home and make avdallah ready. So where your mind is where you're at. And that creates a reality. Yaakov Avinu, when he leaves the land, this is when he leaves Haran, his mindset is on Eretz Yisrael. And this is indeed the way the Maharal and the Gur Aryeh, in source number 8, answers the Ramban's question. He says, Lufi Deiti, in the bracket, ain't so aimed as Shum Kushya, it's not a question. Since he was on his way to Israel, the angels of Eretz Yisrael came to greet him and to protect him. Why? It's about Eretz Yisrael. He's going there. We have to make sure he gets there safely. He needs to have angels to protect him to get there in one piece. Nimsan, the asterisk says, the almost sheros shinam in lufidi v'amarel, ki mekomo ruchani shel adam, the spiritual place of a person, eino nikba kafi makom shomecham. This is a very Hasidic idea. Shem Tov HaKadosh speaks about this. It's not where you're physically standing. Ela kefi hamakom la'anshu olech. Where is your mind? That's really where you are. Dargato ruchanit ha-shamamit nikba kefi kivno v'lo lefi mekomo dehashta. What is the benchmark of where a person is, of where they're going? Not necessarily the place they're in. So we ask, well, how could the angels of Eretz Yisrael leave Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, when Yaakov Avinu is standing in this Ammon Moab territory, his mind is in Eretz Yisrael. His mind is going toward that destination. Where your mind is, that really characterizes where you are. And with this, we can appreciate a piece that Rav Scheinman speaks about in Parshat Noach. He quotes in source number 9, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who used to say, Kinar Yisrael v'avehu, Klai Yisrael is referred to as a youngster, a lad, and therefore Hashem loves us. V'hainu shishmapku kan Klai Yisrael, because they're always like a youngster, they're always beginning and growing, and therefore Hashem loves us. And he says, and this I find very profound, he says, the world around us gives much more attention to full-grown, full-blossoming trees than they do to seeds and saplings that are just growing. And the Torah is not necessarily that way. If you have a sapling that's growing and a tree that may be beautiful, but it's on its way down, which one is more precious? It's the sapling tree. Because this is the one that's in growth mode. What Yiddishkeit is about is growth mode. In the arrow in 9, al adam lufakeach al atzmo, a person continuously has to watch over themselves. This is probably the most important line we could have ever teach. Tamid b'matzav, double underline, shel smicha. Are we growing? Are we moving forward? And not to get to a state of deterioration, ki ein sakana ki sakanata, that is the worst. Which means you hear a new idea, you learn a new halacha. You say, well, I never knew that before. Let me integrate that. Let me make that part of my life. Let me see how I can... That's what Yiddishkeit is about. Not to say, I've heard everything. I can't be bothered. I get so much halacha, so many minhagim, so many. No. You learn about a new mita. You learn about a new sensitivity. Let me try to integrate it. Let me make it part of my life. Well, I like that idea. And it could be small things. It could be at the beginning of writing an email to write B'siyata D'Shmaya, BSD, with the help of Hashem, reminding us that it's Hashem who's helping us. Writing a date and writing an Erev Shabbos Kodesh, whatever parasha it is. Small things. Makes me a little bit more sensitive to anticipate, to have the Zachar Jom HaShabbos L'Kadshom. It could be something small that you hear and you say, wow, you know, that's a good idea. I can start putting dates on my email. And, you know, today is Rosh Chodesh. I'm teaching Rosh Chodesh Thursday night for Parashat, I don't even know what Parashat is anymore. I think we're in Parashat Totos. Yeah. Rosh Chodesh Kislev. L'Shabbos Kodesh. Wow. It's small, but it's major. And that says in Das Torah. You can, therefore, this sounds like it boggles your mind. You can have an Am HaAretz, a simpleton, who's on a higher level than a Talmid Chacham. Why? Because the Talmid Chacham, this great person, may be saying, like, you know, I don't need to grow anymore, I'm here, I've reached it. You know, that's it. And an Am HaAretz, a simpleton, is in path of growth, in the path been moving forward. And that, in the arrow, is a deeper understanding of mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, avera, gereres avera, one mitzvah leads to another mitzvah, one avera, one sin leads to another sin. Because when I'm in the mindset of sin, then I'm in that downward spiral. And when I'm in the spiral of, in the mindset of mitzvah, it's just going to create more energy to do mitzvahs. We create the energy around us, and we need to be growth-oriented people. Where our mind is where we're at. Yaakov Avinu's sticky vertstrel, that's where he is. And this is the imagery in source number 10, Rabbi Rabbers brings of the kruvim, of the angelic figures that were on the aron. Why angelic figures? Because that's what we have to remember. We're like children. You know what's something special about children? They're always curious. They're always learning. They're always asking questions. Sometimes, you know, they're nudniking. But they're always wanting to know more and more. That's how we have to be. We have to be the kruvim on the aron. We have to be curious. We have to ask. We have to search. We have to integrate. We have to grow. I'd like to share in source number 11 a beautiful idea, a beautiful mindset of one of the Talmidim of the Mashgiach, Rav Chaskel Levenstein, was once appointed as Rosh Yeshiva. And he came to Rav Chaskel and he says, I have a problem. What was his problem? He says, my job is to give Musar Shmuzim to the students. But I know myself that I'm not holding in these places, right? I have to tell them to work on the, you know, all these mitos. And I know, I'm honest with myself, I know that I'm telling them to be in a lot of different places, but I'm not holding there. Umargish Basmosh the Sheker, it's hypocrisy. How can I be saying these things? And says Double Squiggly 11, listen closely. Anala Rabbeinu Mashgiach Rav Chaskel answered him, She'im Shifato Hiliyot Lagia L'Sham. If you, this student, this Rosh Yeshiva, your desire is to get there. When you speak about these concepts, you're like, hi, halavai, I could get there. I want to be there. If that's where your mind is, as kvar nimsa sham, then you're already there. V'chizu madre kato be'etzem, and that defines who you are, and it's not hypocrisy. Wow. This is where it's all about, my friends. What our job has to be is to live a life of na dai li b'mashi sakti in the end of 11. It's enough what I've achieved. Kishem shloi tachem shadam b'alto b'kochotav yechshev. Dai lo b'mashi chayiti yechshev v'lama liyot chayim. No one ever says, well, I think I've lived enough. I don't need any more life. Just like a person doesn't say that, a person should have the same attitude toward growth. We've never grown enough. We could always integrate. We could always learn. We could always become better people. We're deeper people, both in our mitos, in our shmiras halacha. There's so much to learn, right? Just take the book, you know, learn Shabbos 3 minutes a day. You'll be surprised at how many hilchos Shabbos we're not even aware of. 3 minutes a day. Just picking up the sefer, saying, I want to be a Shomer Shabbos. I want this. I may not be there yet. But when you pick up a Sefer and you desire whatever it is, that's where you are. That defines who you are. And hence, my friends, we can appreciate to round out this first level. The Pasuk says that after Yaakov Avinu's dream, it says, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, source 12, Yaakov lifts up his feet, Vayelech Artsa B'nei Kedem, and he goes toward the land of Kedem. So he notes here, he says, it's as if Yaakov Avinu never was in Haran, because Vayisa, Ki B'men Nasa Yaakov Raglav, yes, he lifted up his feet. Physically, he may have been there, right? His feet were lifted up, but he never was there, because the entire being was always connected to what? To Eretz Yisrael. So, my friends, idea number one, our question again is, how could we say that the angels of Eretz Yisrael came out to greet him to the land of Israel when he wasn't in the land of Israel yet? And the answer is, although physically he wasn't in the land of Israel, as soon as he decided to go to the land of Israel, in that respect, he's already there. His mind is there, this is where he's at, and therefore the angels can clearly come to greet him, and this is the first lesson for us to integrate into our lives. Growth. Angels, where do you want to be? Where's your vision? Where's your aspiration? And the key is that we're always growing and moving. That, again, today being Rosh Chodesh, the beginning of the month, when I'm taping the Erev Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur Katan, is to ask oneself at the beginning of the month, at the end of a month, have I grown this month? What have I integrated? In what way am I different? What way am I more sensitive? And these are questions that we don't only need to ask every Rosh Hashanah. These are questions we need to ask every month. And just asking the question is already growth-oriented. It's already moving forward. It's already showing this is where I want to be. Okay, my friends, that was level number one for today. Level number two. And level number one, we called this level, we'll find the title, we called it aspiration. Where are you aspiring to be? But aspiration also works for level number two, too. And let's learn again the Sefer we've been using a lot this year, Be'er HaChaim. He quotes, Rav Steinwurzel, he quotes the following idea from the Tiferes Yonatan. We're in source 13. When Yaakov Avinu comes to, wakes up from his dream, and he sees that this is the gate of heaven, Ein Zakim Bein Elokim V'Zashar Shemayim, this is the house of God, the question that Yaakov Avinu wondered was the following. And the question we wonder is the following. Is there a place in heaven, right? We know that there's Yushalayim above, which parallels Yushalayim below. There's a temple above, which parallels the temple below. The question asked, the Tiferet Yonatan asks, is it that there's a temple up in heaven, and wherever that temple is, you know, draw a line down, and that's where the temple down here is? Or is wherever the temple down here is, then draw a line straight up, and that's where Hashem will put the temple of above? When Yaakov Avinu has this dream, and Yaakov Avinu shatano dalo shemakom shebeis amigdash shamata sham nasa beis amigdash shamala vayikar talu yechano beis amigdash shamata. When Yaakov Avinu is in Beit El, which is not Yerushalayim, and he sees this is the gates of heaven, this is the house of God, he now, and that's why he could sleep there, because he never believed that this was the holy place. He knew that there were the holy stones there that was brought from Mount Moriah, but that this should be where God's heavenly, you know, Beis HaMikdash is, that he never imagined in his life. The lesson that Yaakov Avinu learned when he woke up is that we are the determining factors. When you have a temple below, when you are consecrating a place to be holy, that's where Hashem is going to draw a line above and say that's where the temple is above. The end of 13, wherever the temple is below, that's where the temple is above. And that's why Yaakov Avinu says, Manora Makobasa, how awesome is this place? Because he understood something deeper that he had never met before. based on this, my friends, we can appreciate why we can appreciate Bemet Inyans that this idea Shekoma Shalamala Talud Basim Shaklai Shalamata, we learn from the Sefer Yonatan that our deeds create the corresponding heavenly reality above. Yaakovinus and Beit El, why would that be the gate of heaven? Why would that be the heavenly temple above? God's going to move it. God's going to create, that's where it's going to be. Because that's where you feel the Kedusha down here. And this is the lesson that Yaakov Avinu integrates in his life in 15. V'yesh lomar shezeh yachizu gadol Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu understood, here's the key, my friends, for level number 2. Shira'a Yaakov sheko makom sheyelech. Yaakov Avinu now understood, and that was really the deeper message of the dream, that wherever he'll go, Yachol lamshich sham shar shamayim, Yaakov Avinu can bring the heavenly gates to wherever he is. It's not one place up in heaven, and you have to, you know, just find it and bring down the holiness down here. No. It goes the opposite order. The holiness down here creates the holy effects up in heaven. And therefore he understood, Ke'akol talud ba'asayadenu, everything is dependent on our work of our hands. And if we build a Beit HaMikdash down here, where Hashem's glory will be, then that will be the place up in heaven. When Yaakov Avinu understands this, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, Rashi tells us he lifts up his feet in a very lighthearted way. Why? Because now he feels like he can be able to go to Lavan's house. Why? Because he's able to create in Lavan's house the Kedusha space of Mikdash. He can go to Lavan's house and create a mini Eretz Yisrael of Lavan's house, and that will create the Kedusha up in Shemayim. It's not like there's one locale of holiness and you have to tap into specifically that place. You can create. Every person can create this. And that is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Yaakov Avinu in the hour of 15. Ufaratzta yama v'kedma tzafona v'negba. You will be scattered from all the different directions. Because wherever you go, you're able to bring holiness with you. And there is no hagbalah. There is no restraint into where you can go to be able to inculcate holiness. Yaakov, that name is the same letters as Yivaka, which is the to break forth, that the light of holiness, Bokeya Chutz L'Gvulo, the light of holiness breaks out of its constraints. And therefore, in 16, we can appreciate the Medrash that says that Hashem took all of Eretz Yisrael and put it underneath Yaakov's head when he went to sleep to show him wherever you are, wherever you're sleeping, that's the Kedusha, that's the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. What is the power that Yaakov Avinu has in order to create this aspect of the Kedusha, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael? The answer is the Koach of Torah, the power of Torah. Yaakov Avinu, the Ishtam Yoshev Oli, by Yedei Shemam Shichim Kedusha Satorah, through having the power of Torah, he can even bring Efshar La'asot Shafilu B'chutz La'aretz. Even outside Eretz Yisrael, you can have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash Mamish, very much dovetailing what we saw last week of Akol Kol Yaakov, the two voices of Yaakov, Torah and Tefillah. And this helps us explain a Gemara in Source 17, where the Gemara says, they said to Rabbi Yochanan, their elderly people in Babylonia. Rabbi Yochanan said in amazement, how could that be? The Pasuk says, L'man yirbu yimechem ibnei b'nechem al ha'adama, in order to prolong your days and the days of your children upon the land that Hashem has sworn to your ancestors. The only place you can have long days is Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can't have long days. So they told him the following. They said, the elders of Babylonia are people who arise early to attend synagogue in the morning and stay late in the synagogue in the evening. And he says, if that's true, that's the merit where they got long life. And this, the Marsha explains the following. The Gemara states that the synagogues and study halls in Babylonia are destined to be established in Israel in the Messianic age because of this future disposition when a praise at a synagogue is as if he were in Eretz Yisrael, Thus the land of Israel's blessing and longevity extends to him. That's a deeper understanding when the Gemara says that all these yeshivas and all these shuls are going to come into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because they have been infused with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So, albeit they're not in Israel, they're in Brooklyn, they're in Australia, wherever they may be, they have that aspect of the holiness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rain His presence on them. And therefore, since it has this element of Kedusha, like he says, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, so when the Mashiach comes, and the Gemara says, like, the whole world is going to be Eretz Yisrael. Again, these are hyperboles to be understood. On a certain level, it means that these holy places will go back to where they belong, where the intensity of holiness is, which is in Eretz Yisrael. This is the job of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu's job when he goes to Lavan's house in 17 was v'imshik kedusha Eretz Yisrael gam b'chutz la'aretz, to bring the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael also in the land of Israel. And that's why we can appreciate in 17 that when Yaakov Avinu leaves, he hadn't yet injected the outside of the land of Israel with holiness. So the angels of Eretz Yisrael, you know, couldn't pass the border because there was no kedusha, there was no holiness. Now that Yaakov Avinu has created this holiness, he's taken the Torah with him and he's brought in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, he's brought Kedusha, so now the angels of Eretz Yisrael are able to come to him. And that was really Yaakov Avinu's job. Yaakov Avinu's job is to take that which is physical and create something spiritual. And this is the imagery of the ladder which is planted down on earth and goes into heaven. Yaakov Avinu's job is to take the physical, take wherever you are, and be able to turn it into something spiritual. And hence, Minhag Yisrael, talking about integrating Minhag Yisrael, to sing songs on Motzei Shabbos, when Yibel Avraham Malka. And one of the songs goes through the Aleph Beis, and the refrain is, Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, don't worry my servant Yaakov. And this, based on what we're saying, is the message here, that whatever you go through during the week, don't worry, you have the ability to bring the Kedusha, the holiness with you, so albeit you're leaving Shabbos Kodesh, but don't think that just because Shabbos is gone, so Kedusha is gone. Al Tira Avdi Yaakov, just like Yaakov Avinu was told, don't worry, wherever you go, you're bringing Kedusha with you, Ufaratzta, in all directions, we also should have that chizuk, that strength, to bring Kedusha into our lives. Take a look at a bencher, at a sitter. You'll see that piyut. You can make up any tune you want. It's very nice to sing a Motzei Shabbos. This idea of Yaakov Avinu's job of elevating the physical, making it kedusha, is what the Nir Uziel speaks about. Yaakov Avinu symbolized Jewish concept of elevating, sanctifying corporeal reality. Christianity is found in belief that heaven and earth are separate and distinct entities, completely foreign to one another, and never the twain shall meet. Judaism, on the other hand, professes that heaven and earth are merely two extremes of a single continuum. A Jew grasps a cup of wine, the symbol of physicality and materialism, and elevates it to a spiritual dimension, reciting Kiddush. The point of union between heaven and earth is represented by the Beis Hamikdash, where corporal animals were placed on God's altar and therefore transformed into pure spiritual energy. And that's why when Yaakov Avinu gets up in the morning, he took the stone that he placed under his head and stood it as a pillar. In order to give concrete expression to this concept, Yaakov performed an act that would ground the spiritual circuit that he had discovered. With this act, Yaakov essentially laid the spiritual foundations of Beis Hamikdash, in which the physical world would be raised to a spiritual plane and corporal animals would be elevated and sanctified to God. This idea of being able to have aspiration, and that our aspiration should be to take the physical world and elevate it to the spiritual. And when we aspire to do so, we create Kedusha, holiness, where we are, explains the question that I never thought about. That is a lot of them. And gives us a deeper insight into what this parsha is about. So I'd like to take this idea one step deeper before going on to the third level. And that's the question that the Mesameach Sion asked in 21. He says, why was it that Yaakov Avinu had to go to Chutz Laretz? Don't to outside Israel to get married and have the children. Don't tell me, Esav. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many ways of arranging things, right? He could have had Esav, you know, be frustrated and run away to Edom right away. Like, you know, Harbeit Shluchim Umakom. I'm not worried about how things could have been arranged. Why was it necessary that Rivka Imenu be brought over? I understand that Yitzchak was an old Tzvima, he wasn't allowed to leave. But Yaakov Avinu is establishing the Shiftekah. He's establishing his children. Only Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of people make Aliyah and have a son, they name him Binyamin or Ben Sion, right? Binyamin, he was born in Eretz Yisrael. So why weren't all the tribes born in Eretz Yisrael? Start off. This is the Shiftekah. These are the holy tribes. Start him off in the blessed place of Kedusha possible, in the blessed place of holiness possible. And he notes in 21, and he asks this question. He says, Chutz Laretz, he describes as a place, as soon as Yaakov goes into Haran, he sees a well with a big stone on the well. And the big stone represents the Leva Evan, the stone on our heart. That you go into Chutz Laretz, the Lev is Atum, your heart is closed. You don't see the Ribono Shel Olam, you don't see Hashem in the same way. The Lev Yehudi is Be'er, the heart of a Jew is like a well, and in Eretz Yisrael, the well is overflowing. You feel the Kedusha of Hashem, you feel the Chachas, the renewal, you seek, you know, Hashkacha wherever you go into the outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's like darkness. Okay, I understand that Yaakov Avinu brought Kedusha there, but that's, you know, the ideal is Eretz Yisrael. This is the place of connection. This is the place of Hashem's land. Why was it necessary for Yaakov Avinu to go there? And a similar question could be asked, we know, why the Torah was given outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why was it given in Midbar Sinai? It should have been given on Har Moriah. It would make more sense. And the answer that he gives, we'll do a little bit outside and then move in. He says that the avos were a three-pronged process. We say in our davening, lilmod, lamed, lishmor, velasod. First you have to be lilmod. First you have to learn. That was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was coming into a world where no one knew about Hashem. He had to learn about Hashem. Had to discover HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we have lamed. We have Yitzchak Avinu, who had to learn. Once he have Lishmoa, once we have Avraham Avinu's Lishmoa, he hears, he discovers Hashem, Lishmoa, Lilmod, then you have Yitzchak Avinu, who's going to learn, Lishmoa, Lilmod, Lishmor Velasot, and then you're ready to be able to be Lame, to teach, and to do. And that's Yaakov Avinu. First to hear, Avraham Avinu, discover Hashem, then to learn, make it part of you, Yitzchak Avinu. Once those two steps were done, Yaakov Avinu's mission in life was a much different mission. It wasn't as much about perfecting himself, which obviously he did, but his focus wasn't like Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu on real inner growth and self. His focus was much more on giving to others. His focus was much more to be able to spread what he gained to the world at large. And the world at large is not just the world of Eretz Yisrael. It's not just the world of intrinsic Kedusha. To be able to spread the world at large means to be able to spread the teachings to everyone. And this he says, V'achar shavoteinu, Avraham Yitzchak, the end of 23, Hishlimu Atzman, once they perfected themselves, then Yaakov Avinu was Bechinat Lulameh, but his job is legalod or lekuto yibarach b'chol ha'olam, to be able to discover, to reveal Hashem's light in the whole world. Lafitz kedushat Eretz Yisrael, to be able to spread the holiness of Eretz Yisrael l'shato ha'kol ha'olam, to the entire world. Ufaratz te'yama v'kemet zafon v'negma, go in all directions. Shitzariyah shititpashtei kedushat Eretz Yisrael b'chol ha'olam, again, what we mentioned, that medrash about the future vision that Eretz Yisrael will be the whole world. Does that mean that the land of Israel is going to be the whole world wherever you are? Your zip code is Israel? Not necessarily. Again, we spoke about medrash. It's teaching us a lesson. the mindset of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, is going to spread everywhere. And that is Yaakov Avinu's job, to move it outward. With this, 24, the Kedusha Slevi, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, explained why it says, Vayelech Harana. He went to Haranat Vayeret. He went down. Usually when you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're spiritually going down. But Vayelech, he went. And Rashi tells us, we know that Panahoda, Panaziva, Panahadra, all of his glory, all of his greatness, splendor left Eretz Yisrael. Where did it go? Vakavanah b'zeh, bracket 24, Shekeshe Yaakov yatzam Eretz Yisrael. When Yaakov Avinu left Eretz Yisrael, Lakachimo Hoda Zivava Hadra, he took this with him because he understood Lakachimo Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. He took it with him so that he would be able to bring this Kedusha wherever he went. That's why Yaakov Avinu had to have children and marry outside of Eretz Yisrael, because his job was to take the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael and be able to spread it out. You know, it just came to my mind. I remember when I was a kid, and someone would send me an aerogram from Eretz Yisrael. People my age, an aerogram, you know, like those blue things where you had to, you know, write on every single corner, and then you had to, you know, seal it. When you open it, you didn't hope not to ruin all the, you know, the words that were, you know, stuck in there. Okay, so when I would get an aerogram, I was a kid, I would open it really slowly, and I would breathe it in, and I would say, wow, in here is the air of Eretz Yisrael. You know, let me get a sense of being able just to breathe in the air of Eretz Yisrael. That was because 50 years ago, I didn't know this piece, that you can, at some level, obviously not the full extent of the Eretz Yisrael Makim, the land of Israel, makes you smart, makes you connected, makes you close to Ribbono Shel Olam. We see here is that Yaakov Avinu is teaching us that the Kedusha HaTorah, the Kedusha, the holiness of Torah, the holiness of Tefillah, creates an Eretz Yisrael wherever you are. And hence, the children, the Shifteka, are dafka born in Chutz Laaretz to show that you can have an aspect of Eretz Yisrael outside. Again, the fullness of Eretz Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael Makim, the fullness of the Shekhinah, all of that, obviously, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael giving you Yiras Shamayim, Shemitah this year, obviously, clearly, no one's going to argue otherwise, is in Eretz Yisrael. It's like, you know, the essence. At the same time, a distilled version, which has Kedusha to it, is found in Eretz Yisrael. V'zehaya 25, Madregas Yaakov Avinu. It wasn't about building himself, it was about building others. Just to take this idea one step further, and then we'll do the third idea, and that is the Lekin Imre Kodesh, Bell's, a little bit of Bell's Torah. He says, Sharei kashir yazor Hashem yitbarach, in the bracket, kashiyah geula shlema, when Hashem is going to help us have the ultimate redemption, as bevada Yaakov b'tachlis hashlemus, everything's going to be in the perfected state. Ragafilu begolos nizkeh l'kedushas beis hamikdash shelo bimkomo ayidei limud haTorah, and then we'll be able to really feel that all of that which was invested in golos of the kedusha of holiness, it will be so clear and so obvious. Sometimes that you would go into a place and intellectually you may know it's a holy place. We don't realize the Kedushas of Eretz Yisrael. In the future, Rakafilu begolos nizkeh Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. In the future, we'll be able to so clearly feel and see that Kedusha permeated this place. And this is the understanding that Yaakov halach l'darko. Yaakov goes on his way to be able to bring Kedusha even in other places. The angels of Eretz Yisrael came to him, and when Yaakov Avinu saw them, he saw these angels outside of Israel. He says, Machane Elohim, them Eretz Yisrael. This is, you know, special delivery from the land of Israel. And he called the place Machanaim, that these two camps met. L'Rameis in the asterisk in the end of 26 to teach us, to hint us, Al Hamshachas HaKedusha Me'eret Yisrael L'Chutz Laret. This was Yaakov Avinu's mission. So now I appreciate, why is Yaakov Avinu calling this place Machanaim? He's naming it after the angels. Like, what's the big deal that the angels met and he's naming a place this way? It's a very big deal. Because what he's saying is that the angels of Eretz Yisrael can meet the angels of Chutz Laretz. The fact that the two can coexist together outside the land of Israel, Dafka, Rashi, remember Ramban's question? Dafka outside the land of Israel, so it's a Pilsner Rebbe, is to teach us that that was Yaakov Avinu's mission, as we saw, to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. At the time of the Geula, all of them will be transported back to Eretz Yisrael because that's where they belong. Nevertheless, they have this element of Kedusha wherever they are. And this is what I tell my students who go back to America and they say, how can we leave Israel? So I quote them Lubavitch Rebbe, which is basically this idea. You need to create Eretz Yisrael wherever you are. And that is by creating a place of Torah and Tefillah. When you create a home, an environment of Torah and Kedusha, Torah and Tefillah, so then you are living up to that model that Yaakov Avinu taught us, Ufa Ratzta. Again, is that the ideal? Absolutely not. The ideal, we saw that the Talmud asked that an angel is going to come from Eretz Yisrael to help you come back to Eretz Yisrael. That's the place to be. In the meantime, this is the there is a certain reality of Kedusha. Okay, my friend, so what we've seen so far, how could these angels leave Eretz Yisrael? They're angels of Eretz Yisrael. Idea number one is wherever you are, in your mind, your aspiration, that's where you are. Idea number two, wherever you aspire the Kedusha to be, wherever you aspire holiness to be, that you say, this is going to be a place where we're going to daven, this is going to be a place that we're going to learn, this is going to be my house, where I'm going to have a house of Kedusha, of holiness, of teaching my children Torah, the Chule, etc. That aspiration to create holiness has the ability to, Ufaratzta, to be able to be a place of holiness, and hence naming the place Machanaim, it's really marking the how the Eretz Yisrael and the Chutz Laretz outside of Israel and Israel can meet together, and there could be a union of both Machanaim, two camps. Okay, my friends, now let's look at the third level, which is totally different. We know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, he who does one mitzvah gains himself one advocate, while he who commits one transgression acquires for himself one accuser. Ethics from Sinai, Irving Bunim, 28. What we do in this world is not insignificant. That's the key line. Every action counts. Another key line. Every act is a seed, and as we plant, so shall we harvest. Wow. As ripples spread outward from a pebble dropped in a pool, so does each and every deed have profound and far-reaching repercussions. And mapping the topography of human nature, our sages have an axiom that in everyone there's a Yetzer Tov, an inclination, impulse to do good, and a Yetzer Hara, an inclination to do evil. Then they went further to convey, in simple, understandable terms, a basic truth about the effect of our deeds in the spiritual realm. They use the symbol of the angel. Whenever you do a mitzvah following your Yetzer Tov, an angel is created that acts as an advocate for you, a protector, a defense attorney. Now this idea found in our Mishnah, but also in the Medrash. If a man does one mitzvah, the Holy One believes he gives him one's angel to guard him. More mitzvahs, more angels to guard him. It's interesting, the Yain Levanon in 29 points out that these angels are only created if you really exert yourself in doing a mitzvah. If you do a mitzvah mindlessly, so then it's really not creating an angel. And hence, therefore, they suggest in 30 to find some mitzvahs that you put your entirety of your being in, and in that way you can ensure that you're going to have angels. The Darash Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein's that style, understands it a little bit differently. And I want to focus it on this because I think this will make us feel a little bit better. He says, every time you do a mitzvah, you get an angel. No doubt about it. The angel is yours. However, when you do a mitzvah, behidur or besimcha karaui, when you do a mitzvah with happiness, and you invest yourself in it, and you put your all in it, then not only do you get an angel, but you get a machane elokim. You get a camp of angels. So this is the difference. You get just one angel. So you did the mitzvah, you get an angel. But you're excited about it, and so for your excitement, that creates more angels. And for enthusiasm, that creates more angels. And when you put your entire being into it, that creates more angels. And before you know it, you have a whole slew of angels that you created by doing that very same mitzvah. That shahako, is one angel. Wow, I have the ability to say Baruch Atah, I'm standing right in front of Hashem, and I'm so excited to be able to understand Shehakol Nia B'Dvaro, that everything is created by Hashem, and I can acknowledge that this cup of water is a gift from Hashem. Whoa! So many angels are created. The Avodah Avodah, the Tasha Rabbi Zatzal, notes in 32, V'itza B'Sifrei Kodesh K'malochim Alalu, these angels that Yaakov even sees, aren't just random angels. These angels were nivru mimaisa v'drachav shel Yaakov Avinu. These angels were created from all the actions that he did, from learning Torah, from all the holy sparks he picked up in Lavan's house. And this explains v'alzer romei sakatu v'Yaakov halach l'darko. Yaakov went on his way. He went on his way, which is the way of Derech HaKodesh. What did he meet along the way? He met all the mitzvahs that he did. And that's why he names the place for the angels. It's for you and me. The circle asterisks. He was marking all of his hard work. 20 years in Lavan's house. 20 years in Golos trying to elevate the sparks. And look at all of these angels that he created. When he sees all of these angels he created, he's naming the place not so much for himself, but for us. That when we, says the Avodah Avodah, when we go through Golos, when we go through difficult times, and we struggle, and we try so hard to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and we live in Golos, or our mindset is in Golos, and we still persevere, and our Yitzhahara is so great, and Ikvot HaMashiach is so hard, and we still work hard, look at what you create. Look at the angels. Machanayim. Look at the myriads of angels that exist. It's teaching us in 33 in the bracket, when we're strong in all of these situations and we don't get despondent and we don't give up and we continue to learn Torah and Tefillah and to build our home and to teach our children, and we do whatever we can do in 33b. Do you know how many angels we create? Do you know how much protection we have? Do you know how much Melitze Yosher, how many of them are advocates for us, asking Hashem to have rachamim on us? We have no idea. And that's the idea in 34, Vayifgu'u bo malchei elokim, and they met him, Ein pigiyat elotfila, as we saw, Vayifgu b'makom, Yaakovinu David. These angels will daven for us. These angels are going to stand in front of Hashem and plead our case, which is what the Kapitel Tehillim Tzadik Aleph speaks about. 91. Ki malachav yitzave lach lishmurcha b'chol drachecha. Hashem sends angels to watch us on our way. And the Tiva Tehillim of Gamliel Rabinowitz, it's missing the source in 35, notes that these angels are protecting us all the time. Don't take it for granted that you come home and you know nothing happens to you. You know, you go straight home, you don't trip on anything, you don't bang into anything, and you take it for granted. That's not Teva. No. Teva is, the nature is, that there's so many things that can happen. There's so many holes in the road that you can trip on a physical and symbolic level. The fact that you get home unscathed is because of these angels that are protecting you. And if you do trip, don't think, I'm a klutz, I trip. No, you've lost some of these angels. The protection isn't that strong. Know that this is a calling to work on oneself, to be able to strengthen oneself. There's a shmira, there is a protection of angels. So my friends, we're trying to understand this a little bit deeper. We live in a very one-dimensional world. I look at what's in front of me, and I see what's in front of me. I see papers, I see a stender, I see a camera, I see a chair, right? I see very, you know, whatever's there, whatever I can feel, whatever I can touch is there. If any of us have ever been to an IMAX theater where you wear these blue and red and green glasses, whatever color they are, you notice that when you put on a different set of glasses and suddenly the screen comes alive and there's fish in the sea and there's wherever you're watching, you know, it's a whole different dimension. Kama chaval, how unfortunate it is that we live our lives in such a plane of simplicity and that we don't realize that right now, as I'm teaching, and right now, wherever you are, you're listening, whether you're in front of a computer, whether you're cooking, whether whatever you're doing, you're driving, lo mishanah what you are, you're creating angels. Every word of Torah is angels. When you're thinking about how you can apply this, turning your Torah into tefillah, yidavat Hashem, help me, let me take something on, let me see what I can learn, let me... Do you know how many angels you've created from that mindset? These angels surround a person. These angels are a protection for the person. If we would just stop for a moment and watch all of these angels surrounding us, we would be astounded. Ein zeki machan Elokim. This is the camps of God. Machanayim. We're surrounded by these camps at all times. Therefore, we understand that this idea, which seems to be a conceptual idea, is really very practical in terms of a bracha we say every single morning. One of the brachas in Birkos HaShachar is that Hashem is Oter Yisrael B'Tifara. Literally, He crowns the Jews with glory. So notes Labokarina in source number 37, it doesn't say that Hashem is Ma'ater Yisrael, that He puts the crown on us, but rather He's Oter Yisrael, Kivyachol Kodesh Baruch Hu Ba'atzmo Hi Ateret. Hashem Himself is as if He's the crown. Hashem Himself puts the Shechina on us. Notes Rabbi Schwab, source number 36, if a person communicates with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and surrounded by the malachim of his mitzvahs, then the Shekhinah is above his head. The word Shekhinah comes from Shechein, which means close. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close to him. Thus, Oter Yisrael B'Tifarei crowns Yisrael with the glory of his Shekhinah as results of our mitzvahs. So every time we do a mitzvah, we create angels. We create a machne elokim. We create a camp of angels. And these angels create a reality that the Shekhinah kivyachol, Hashem's presence, is a crown over our head, is our glory. And that's the imagery of apparel that we should feel like we are clothed by spirituality, that we are surrounded by the Shekhinah, we're surrounded by angels. We should look at our lives from a three-dimensional approach, not just, you know, superficial. And I meet others. I'm meeting them and the angels that are with them. Which now, my friends, helps us to explain what this Machanayim is about. We know the Ramban suggests that the plural 1C refers to Yaakov's camp on earth and the camp of angels on high. The title implies that both camps are equal because they both exist only to bless God and assert His unity. Explains Rav Wolbe, source 39. What is this about? A kavanah l'shtei machanot shayu shavim, both of these are equal. Sarich ladat shekachi be'emes, in the asterisk, this is the truth. Whatever is found down here, this is what we've been speaking about today, is creates a parallel up in heaven. If there's a machane, if there's a camp of Yaakov Avinu down here, there's a camp of angels above. They work hand in hand. He said that's why sometimes you have a kenes, you have a group comes together, they learn, and they daven, and they say Tehillim, and there's a certain avira miyuchedet, there's a certain feeling in this room. It's not by accident. This is the ruchnius, the spirituality that comes from what you're doing down here, creates a spiritual reality up in Shemayim. And therefore, when we say Kedusha, Nikadesh, Etchimcha Ba'olam, as we praise Hashem in this world, Kishem Shemakdishim Otobishmei Maro, as they praise Him in heaven, Why are we talking about how they praise him in heaven? Because the angels and us are praising together. We are working in hand together. This is what we say, a piyut on Yom Kippur. Kol aritzei mala ve'ema yaritzu, elu ve'elu b'noam animim. You have the angels down up in Shemayim praising Hashem, the Jews down here praising Hashem, and together, what exists up in Shemayim is a mirror of what we create down here. That's what we're learning here today, my friends, that there is a mirror, that we create the Kedusha, not only in the place, by Torah and Tefillah, but by who we are. The mitzvot that every individual does creates a group of angels. And therefore, my friends, our final idea, Kan Yitgale Yaakov L'Rishana 39, that Yaakov Avinu halach l'darko, he leaves Lavan, just like when Lot was with Avraham Avinu, he wasn't able to have Hashem speak to him, he doesn't appreciate full Kedusha. This is the first moment Yaakov is on his own after leaving Lavan's house, and he's able to see, wow, Hayanikar Shemachana Elokim hi keneged Machana shel Yaakov. He's able to appreciate his children. He's able to appreciate his family. And he sees in front of him angels. Notes the Chasam Sofer. Alternatively, 41, the two camps may refer to Yaakov Avinu's children, even though they're still in territory of Amma Moav and Edom, which will not become part of Eretz Yisrael until the time of Mashiach. He still saw the angels of Eretz Yisrael coming to greet him. He therefore concluded that his children had achieved the exalted status of angels as they would in the times of Mashiach. Thus, the two camps he spoke of were those of the angels of Eretz Yisrael and those of his children who had become like angels. And hence, he names the place Machanayim in recognition of what one can achieve in this world. That the angels of above are able to meet the angels of below. That one's own children become angelic. That one's own self and everything you invest in your Torah mitzvos creates angels of above. And that's the message that we need to learn for our lives. Aspire for greatness. Never give up. Be able to recognize that wherever you are, you have the ability to transform physicality into spirituality. Chutz La'aretz can become places of Kedusha. And ultimately, we have to understand that wherever each and every one of us is, whatever we are doing, we are creating angels of protection, angels of daven for us all the time. Those angels surround us, the Shekhinah surrounds us, and to a real great extent, that which we create, our families, our homes, have a mirror of angels in heaven of this aspect of Kedusha. And when these angels meet, and the tefillah for all of us is that we should be able to reach this pinnacle of Machanayim, where the camps meet, where the angels meet angels, each person in their own personal lives.